We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Yo, back up now and give a brother room. The fuse is lit, and I'm about to go boom. Mercy, mercy, mercy me. Oh, my life was a cage, but on stage I'm free. Hyped up, psyched up, ready for wildin'. Standing in a crowd of girls like an island. I see the one I want to sit. Come here, cutie. I flip her around and then I work that booty. Work the body, work, work the body. Slow down, girl, you're about to hurt somebody. Hold up, yo, let's get
your Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Living Services. Locally owned and operated. And HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Well, yo, are y'all ready for me yet? Well, yo, are y'all ready for me yet? Well, yo, are y'all ready for me yet? Well, here I go, here I go, here I go. Yo, dance in the aisles when the Prince steps to it. The rhyme is a foot.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. Thank you to Gary Dieter and Anthony Sherman for spending an hour in the studio. Now we have our good friend Nick Leckie ready to spend time with us. Hello, Nick. How are you?
I'm great, Stephen. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing very well. I'd like to get your immediate reaction now to the Chiefs announcing yesterday that Lil Jon will be taking the stage for a halftime performance at Saturday's playoff game.
Entertainer, man. Just a pure entertainer. And wasn't he there in Houston when we won then? Chiefs won playoff game, so.
Is this a thumbs up from you?
Yeah, it's a thumbs up from me. He's an entertainer. I don't listen to a lot of his music. But the fact that he's making it, I respect that.
But if you're there at halftime,
it's hype.
Do you say, let me go grab a hot dog, let me go, let me take a quick pee? Or do you say, you know what, no, I'm going to sit in my seat, I'm going to watch Lil Jon. Is he enough to keep you in your seat?
I don't think, like, personally, I'd watch a little bit of it, but I'd know I'd be able to catch it on social media later that night. I'd watch a little bit, but then I'd go do my business. But I also don't like to do anything at halftime either. It just all the crowds, I can't deal with all that.
I go right 2 minute warning of the second quarter, and then I'm back before the crowd hits it. Now,
exactly,
I do think it's very important to have the right entertainment in a football game because I'll tell you this: a year later, and I argue with this with my lovely wife Susan. We argue about this. I believe that one of the reasons that the Chiefs lost to the Bengals in the AFC Championship game was this song was performed at halftime at Arrowhead. And it infuriated me. At that point in my life, I did not want to hear that song anymore. And it put a very, I'm telling you, it put a very bad vibe in Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, 100%.
And he was up there on the drum deck. And then Craig,
blaring the speakers. Nate
loves this song. Craig is up for Nate. And I was sitting there, why are they doing this? Because at that point, it was everywhere, right?
Yeah.
But I could get away from it. I could change the station. I could change the channel on the TV. I could forward something. But then I don't like going out there, like you said, in the crowd during halftime and the bad two. So I'm in my seat. And I can't get away, and this guy's up there yelling this song at me.
Is this the first time hearing this song?
Yeah, of course. No, are you serious?
Well, no. I have
children.
Well, that's why I'm... Oh, okay.
This guy's screaming this song to me, and I'm like, this is... Set. And I think that was the reason why Eric Bieniemy and Mahomes and Tyreek Hill were all arguing with each other because of the Applebee's song, and it put a very bad vibe out there, and then the Chiefs lost.
You know,
do you believe that?
Listen, I have playlists, and I'm sure everyone does in this world. Marco, you. I have gym.
Yeah, I just listened to my cry one yesterday.
Right? Right? In my room, Apple playlist is fantastic, by the way. But I have playlists for workouts, I have playlists for, you know, when I'm drinking with my friends.
So people, what the name of that playlist is? See,
it is
like
called
one.
SSJ Vato. Oh, the Texas Tornadoes. It's got, hey, baby, ¿qué pasó?
I thought it was your only Vato. Play that song for us.
Yeah, but you have songs that, like, to me, like, music, I love music with all my heart. And mm-hmm. I love exploring music. And music sets the emotions.
Crank it.
Right? It fills in that fourth dimension.
If you see me walking at the track or whatever, there's a good chance I'm listening to this.
An accordion?
Think about the
Texas Tornadoes, man.
This could be the walk.
I grew up on this. See, now look. I love this song. I wouldn't play it at a football game. This is drinking in the parking lot. This is drinking on water somewhere. This is not football game material. Man, I'm not saying you.
This would have been better than the Applebee's song at halftime.
Yeah, if you're doing that way, but right. Still, you don't put it on there. You want like songs like Let's Get Hyped. Like, there's a difference between songs you play at the club at night and stuff you play during the day on right. the beach, right? And you got to have the right. You got to create the atmosphere about it, right? Music creates an atmosphere,
sure.
Especially at a stadium. You know, you get some music, you get them hyped up. It's like Sandstorm and the Octagon of Doom.
You love it, don't you?
I love it. I love it.
Play Sandstorm.
I love everything, right? By Darude. And it's just, you have to have songs like that. But, and that's not a good halftime. Like, what's it, Walker Hayes?
Will you
good
listen?
Performer, but not we, for football.
Will you listen to Sandstorm, like if you're in your car and it comes on? Would you, or is it you? Do you have to be at a game?
No, I hear it and I kind of get a little.
And
little,
you like it.
I'll let it play. I'll never turn it off, Sandstorm.
So it doesn't have to be the game. If you're driving around and then all of a sudden this comes on, then you're cranking it up.
I'm hyped.
And then you're hyped up.
I'm hyped. Like, I'm hyped right now. Like, my blood's starting to get hyped
play
up.
It.
Right? I'm starting to just
let's
just
get this guy hyped up for the hour.
Like,
come
let's go. Like this. And let's ripping up the newspapers.
And then what are you doing now?
And then I'm just like feeling it.
And then you're in it.
And then I'm thinking about the Blade techno scene,
right.
too.
But then it's hard to come down from this.
It is. You can't. I have to turn it silent.
Right.
Like, I'll listen to the song at 11 in my car, and then for, like, the next half hour, like, I'll turn the music off because I'm just like, I got to calm down. I'm in real world. I'm not about to go play in a football game or, you know, root on K-State basketball.
Did you go to the basketball game?
Of course, man.
Of course. So where were you at in the Octagon of Doom? Or of Love, as Jerome Dang was
Octagon of Love. Top corner, I think. Like, if you're looking at the students or the court, we're like the top right. Like my buddy, we go every year. Some friends, so we go every year.
Did you storm the court?
I did not.
Did you want to, kinda?
No, I did not.
A little bit.
No, I took some cool photos and stuff for the private collection.
Were you there when Jerome Tang got on the scores?
Yeah, it was so cool.
Did you like that?
Oh, I thought it was really cool, man. I think he's the perfect basketball coach. His emotion. Everything he's done on the sidelines of football games, you know, engaging with the fans, showing raw emotion. I applaud that. You know, I think we need to get away from I think you need to embrace the anti-Belichick, right? The guy who's going to talk to you, the guy who's going to save you. Because in basketball, you need personalities. Look at Bill Self. He's a great personality. He's one of the greatest coaches of all time. And he's got a personality. That's all I want. Just a basketball coach person. And Bruce had a personality too. But Tang, he's got a better pulse on the youth.
Did Bruce have a personality?
He did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nate, what was the chant that Jerome Tang doesn't like anymore? He doesn't want that. What is it?
I can't recall.
He doesn't like the FKU chant, I think it sounds like.
What do you say about that, Nick?
I think it's good. You have to state, hey, guys, let's do Love. But you can't stress it because then, I mean, you tell me as an 18 to 22-year-old, someone tells you not to do something, what are you going to do? You're going to do it more.
Unless it's clean your room or
right.
Please help us carry the stuff out of the garage to the backyard or things. Then they
right.
refuse to. Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, they, yeah, it's, yeah, like you address it, say you don't like it, but then win games and then they'll start listening to you. You know, and it's like, I get it. They're college kids. They want to do it. It's, you know, KU is the top dog, man. They've had K-State's number forever. They've just come off Natty. You know, they're always in national contention. I mean, Texas football would wish they had a Bill Self. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bill Self doesn't get enough credit, honestly, for, like, the teams he compiles. And everyone gets top draft or top recruits. But he's always able to win, man. That's because he's one of the greatest coaches of all time.
And it's what he does with guys that aren't top recruits too. And
yeah, that's too. No, he's the full package. And I've heard Nate talk about he's been at practices and how he talks to them and he treats them like men and you know expects a lot out of them and that's the precedent. You know, yeah, it's you have mad props.
Will you, even though Jerome Tang is set, will you still say FKU at the basketball game?
I do not. I dance to it. I don't.
You dance to it, but you don't say it.
I don't stand on my lawn and shake my cane right. and say, kids, don't do it. Like, man, to me, honestly, they want to do it, do it. Would I do it personally? Nah, because I don't let anybody in my head rent-free. I try not to. But you
did
know,
you agree with that?
That
he said that KU's rent-free in too many KC fans'
heads? No, they should be, man. They are the top dogs, straight up. They're in everybody's head, man. They came back from 90 points versus UNC at halftime to win it all. Bro, that's gritty. You know, that's gritty as hell. So, yeah, they got my respect for sure. They live in my head rent-free, 100%.
What do you think about that, Nate?
Well, yeah, like if KU fans want to get mad about the chant, it's a compliment, you know?
Right, exactly.
The fact that you got teams chanting your name when you're not playing is an ultimate sign of respect. So I think it's awesome. Yeah. I was thinking about when you're talking about, like, yesterday, Stephen, I get my days confused now, but when we were talking about the idea of storming the court and Jerome Tang said, I'm going to give you this one, but after that we expect to win. And you were talking about, like, how KU fans get up in arms when they storm the court, but then they all storm the football field when they win a football game. And,
yeah,
you know, I think it's this, like, I don't think that Jerome Tang is anti-court storming as an idea. I think, like, for me as a KU fan, I don't blame the KU students for storming the field when they win a football game because it's been 10 years of not winning any football games.
Makes sense.
But I would love to get to the point where when KU wins a conference game in football, it's like everybody celebrates and has a great time and goes to the wheel, but they don't feel like it's such a big deal that they need to storm the court or storm the field. You know, it's not that I'm against field storming. It's just more that, boy, wouldn't it be nice to be the kind of program where when you beat another decent team, you just go celebrate because you're not so stunned that it happened. I think that's what Tang's trying to say about, like, hey, let's get to the point where, yeah, we beat KU and it's awesome, but we beat KU a lot. So, you know, we're going to go to Aggieville and have a great time. I think that's what he's trying to – I don't think he's trying to say I'm against court storming. I think he's just trying to raise the level of expectations.
Exactly. No, I think so too. And I think when you expect to win, then you're like, okay, we won. Not a big deal. But when you, like, kind of half expect to win, and it's a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal for K-State to beat KU. You know, they're the high watermark in the country, not let alone the Big 12. So, yeah, it is a big deal. But, yeah, Nate, I agree with you. It's the mindset of expect to win. Go into every game, expect to win. That way when you win, you're like, yeah, we expect that. And you lose, you're like, crap, you know, I really wanted to win that. And I think that's the elite mindset that he brings. And, you know, you got to have that confidence because the talent is so thin. But you got to have that confidence. You're playing with that confidence. Sheesh, man, they can accomplish a lot.
So you're all in.
I'm all in, man. I'm in for every guy. I think Gene Taylor – the AD for K-State doesn't get enough credit for the way he's righted the ship and he stays out the way. You know, Gene loves, like, you know, he'll be on first half, he'll be watching the game from the field, and then he'll go do his, you know, politic and stuff like that, you know, shake hands, kiss babies. But just what he does, his ego, he hires these great people and just lets them be. I mean, it's so fantastic, and Gene's such a good dude too, man. He's exactly who K-State needs, and to bring in Tang like that and Kleiman, I mean, come on, man, come on, dude. That's fantastic. It is.
We've got Nick Lecky in studio right now. Okay, Nick, we have the Chiefs hosting the Jags. The Jags coming off a comeback. They erased a 27-0 deficit to the Chargers, which led. Which led Bosa to commit a bunch of penalties, throw his helmet, and then talk like Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs after the game while complaining. Oh, you haven't heard him yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, no. I love Buffalo. Buffalo Bill probably
right.
One of the most – and you know what?
I do me.
I think about him every time I put on chapstick.
Yeah, you don't know. You know how many times, how mad my wife has gotten over the years because every time I put on chapstick, I act like that. Yeah.
Play Q Lazarus, Goodbye Horses.
Exactly right. Q Lazarus, Goodbye Horses. You're getting ready.
Every time I wear a caftan in front of a camera.
Oh, yeah. You know, and then look,
I don't do that, by the way.
I think you do.
I think it looked like fun.
Yeah.
He's having a good time.
Somebody says a whole new definition of the Tuck Rule, but that's another story. And so listen to, but I just, but for, okay, it's funny on two levels.
Hey, wait, weren't you about a size 9?
Right, right. It's funny on two levels. Number one, it's funny because he's bitching and complaining, and Anthony Sherman was making fun of him. Like, you know, everyone's hurt. That's not just you. And he's, and then also, he sounds like he's in Silence of the Lambs.
God, that's amazing.
So Marco has put this together for your pleasure.
God, I love this song. Put on a chapstick.
I need to be more accountable for my actions, obviously, but it's a heated game, and I'm hurting out there. I'm playing on half a leg. I'm getting dragged to the ground, whatever. Could hurt me, along with screwing our team. And yeah, maybe
someone got
some
his
of
house.
Them weren't as blatant
Check his
as
basement.
I thought, but I don't know. It's I think there just needs to be more accountability on. I mean, if I say something to them, I get a $40,000 fine. But if they blow a call that ruins an entire team's season, they get to. They're probably back in the locker room after the game, like, I got that. Oh yeah, got him. 15 yards. What a loser! I guarantee it. That's what they're talking like in the back.
That's such a classic. Whatever, power was he, Ohio State. Where do you go?
I'm sick of those people. Such, third F-bomb so far. Sorry, but man. Oof.
It's a childish thing to blame the referee, saying one play is going to affect it one way or another. You know, and it's like D-linemen complain about holding all the time. They'll call it when it's egregious. They'll call it. You know, it's and for him to complain and say one play and blow it and the refs are back. No, I'm a referee, right? No, it's not that. It's safety of the game. And it's, you know, make sure no one's cheating. That's it. I'm straight up. And for him to say that, it's no. But he's hurt. You know, he's lashing out after a game. I get it. They just blew a big old lead in the playoffs on the national stage. And he's hurt. He feels like he should have got some calls. And it's going to happen. But, no, refs aren't back there, plotting and scheming. No. It's one play at a time. We're moving on.
So
he didn't have to throw his helmet down the field. That's
twice.
A dumb penalty. That's such a dumb penalty. Like, that's like
you know,
peewee football penalty dumb.
I just want to make this point again. The play right before that, when he was so mad, his team got away with a blatant pass interference in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
it happens,
the announcers even talk about it like, wow, that's clearly the defensive holding and pass interference. I mean, all the above should have been a first and goal inside the one-yard line. And that didn't get called. And so what did the Jags do? They went out and they scored a touchdown on the next play. You know, like when he says that call like ruins the whole game.
No.
Well, then you're just ignoring the calls that went in your favor. Just the one call. Just that one call ruined the game. You know, like you didn't have any calls that went your way through the course of the game. That's the stuff that usually drives me nuts when people cherry pick one call here or there, as if they didn't catch any breaks throughout the course of the whole game. And I love the I need to be more accountable for my actions, but it was really all the refs' fault. Not
yeah, right. Right. I'm not racist, but... Right, like type thing, or yeah, that's it's so silly to talk like that. Is like, but just context it right, frame the conversation. It was post game, and they blew it in the playoffs. You know?
So how dangerous is Jacksonville after that huge comeback that they had, and now they are the opponents for the Chiefs on Saturday? What's your level of concern if you're looking for the Chiefs' perspective?
At this point, all the weaknesses have been eliminated. You know, we've seen, you know, what everyone's sort of playoff personality is going to be. And I think during the season, you know, you take Jacksonville lightly. And they got a young quarterback, a newer head coach, not new head, but new to them. And you're like, okay, it's AFC South. And the Chiefs struggled with the AFC South this year for some reason. And I don't think they had their full attention. You know, they had them, you know, playing noon games and, you know, lost to Indy early on. And, you know, struggle with Jacksonville a little bit at times. And so we'll see, man. I don't want to see any team. Like, you know, you're like, I wish we'd see this team, wish we'd see that team. You don't want to see any team. You don't want to pick your poison. Any team can get you on the right one. But I think that the Chiefs are going to, you know, unfurl their playoffness.
We have Nick Leckie in studio. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you to our guests so far today, Greg Gurley, Adam Kaplan, Garrett Dieter, Anthony Sherman, Gary Lezak. We've got Nick Leckie in studio. We played a couple of clips of Dennis Gates after last night's big comfort behind victory for Mizzou. They were down 10 under 5 minutes to play, and they beat Arkansas in really an important win, 79-76, because now they got number 4 Alabama coming to town on Saturday. And, man, that kind of surprised me, too. Arkansas is ranked number 25, but they're getting eaten up right now in the SEC. They're now 1-5 after that loss in conference. Mizzou goes to 3-3. But as they showed last night during the broadcast, the last couple of years, Arkansas started the conference slow, and they won 11 consecutive games 2 years ago to finish the season, and then 14 of the last 15 last year. So I imagine they'll bounce back. But they didn't last night. Now Mizzou moves to 14-4, 3-3. We played Dennis Gates with John Sundvold a little bit earlier in the show, and that was good to see Dennis Gates talk about Isaiah Mosley playing, and also give credit to Aiden Shaw, the Kansas City kid who hit 2 threes in the first half, and he called him the player of the game because of those important shots that the former Dorena Award winner made in the first half for Mizzou. And Marco got in trouble with his mom for punching the couch because Isaiah Mosley was playing. So that's exciting. That we know that he's a very excitable young man when watching Mizzou basketball.
Was this forced family time, Marco, the hostage situation?
Was she there, or was she in the other room, or what happened?
No, we were all in the basement, and they actually went to bed in the middle of the first half. If anything, I was trying to force the family fun by gathering and watching Missouri basketball, but I like to hit the couch, I guess, like the arm of it. Like when the Royals were in the playoff run and all that, I would have every strike that was thrown be a
really every strike
superstition.
Oh boy!
So like when Isaiah Mosley got the rebound yesterday, his first big thing in a Missouri uniform, just seeing him out there, that was a
nice
one of those.
So every rebound was a tap tap tap.
No, not every rebound.
Well, there weren't many of those, right?
No.
Now they got out
then
of the rebound.
Didn't bang the couch that much yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
There were plenty of fouls. So that game was 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Oh, gosh. What's a normal basketball game time?
A couple hours, I think. Like 66 free throw attempts, total fouls.
That's a lot
called,
of basketball.
56. 4 Arkansas players fouled out.
Damn.
Oh, I'm looking at some highlights from last night. There were some fouls called for and against Mizzou. There's one that went for Mizzou against Arkansas. In no way did he touch him. And the Mizzou guy just fell down, whistle blown. But I guess, I mean.
Another hero in last night's game, too.
Yeah.
Being an NBA or NBA or college or basketball ref in college or NBA must be difficult. Because what you have to take care of and how quickly they're moving and how things transition back and forth, man, that'd be nuts.
I think most – you always hear players and coaches, they just ask for consistency.
Yeah, that's it, man.
You know,
that's
but, I mean, like last night was ridiculous. That was a bit
was
much.
Was it?
Yeah. There can't be a flow to the game. It's too disruptive, and there's too many free throws, and you know.
I think that's the main thing. I've focused on when I back judge in high school football, just finished year two. And it's like you got to focus, you got to stay with it, and you got to, if you let something go, or if you say, okay, like that was hand fighting, that was equal hand fighting, you got to let it go. You let it go the whole game. And I think if you have these maxims, it makes your job easier as a referee when, you know, you're just trying to, you know, keep the flow of the game going, prevent injuries, make sure no one's taking unfair advantage. That's it. And be an invisible man against the wall or person against the wall, you know, man or woman against the wall, and just let it flow. And you're right. It's got to be. You gotta have consistency. I think that's all anyone can ask for. If you're gonna call it tough for both teams.
Right.
When I reffed U8 soccer back
yes.
in grade school,
yes,
I used to keep things. This was something I would do that would be fair for both teams and fair for everyone. Call the games 5 minutes early each half. Get out of there. Go on to halftime 5 minutes early.
I love
the game
that.
5 minutes early.
Oh, I love that.
It was fair for everyone.
It is fair. That's fun.
Oh,
he has stuff going on. I know, right? For real. Exactly. If there's an 11 o'clock K-State game and it's a 10:30 kick, let's wrap this up. So, yeah, exactly.
We have Nick Leckie in studio. Okay, so we were talking about the matchup coming up on Saturday at Arrowhead Stadium between Jacksonville and the Kansas City Chiefs. What is your opinion of Trevor Lawrence? Like, the other three quarterbacks are considered the best three quarterbacks in the league in the AFC. Patrick Mahomes, and then you got Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. How far outside is Trevor Lawrence?
He's right on the outside looking in. You know, big comeback victory. Showed a lot of grit, leading his team, never getting down. You know, always been a great high school player. You know, was fantastic at Clemson. Came in, did his thing. And he's on the outside of those people just because he hasn't done it enough, right? Where it's not, he's like a flash in a pan right now. So he needs to do more. But you also give him credit because he's a part of that Jacksonville rebuild. I mean, Jacksonville hasn't been relevant since Mark Brunell was there in the mid-90s when they first created that franchise. So he should get credit for that. He's the long term for Jacksonville.
He could have went in the tank after four interceptions in the first half.
100%. And I think that shows a lot. But it's like, until he shows that more and more and leads his team more and more, he's not going to be mentioned into the Burrow, Mahomes, Josh Allen category, right? And him and Tua are right there on the outside, just sort of like kind of roaming in the hallways, waiting to be invited into the big kid room.
Man, I don't know. Tua's future, though, is so up in the air.
Man, dude,
you know,
that's
physically, is he going to be able to play?
I love their head coach, but man, you've got to, like, he should have protected him that first time he got hurt. Man, he's stumbling around like.
You say you love Mike McDaniel.
Yeah.
Do you have any issues with him vaping on the sideline during a playoff game?
They used to smoke cigarettes on the sidelines, man. Like,
right.
Let that man
right.
be. You know.
You good with it?
I'm totally. Man, listen, is it legal? Does he need it? Go for it. I mean, he didn't enough to, like, I mean, he could have done the thing where, you know, in his hoodie, like, I've peed on the sideline before, and guys go around you, you know, you
what,
can
no?
go act like you're getting Gatorade or something like that, and just, you know, whatever, you take a
where
take
was
a
this
rip.
At? Were you peeing on the sideline?
In a Gatorade thing, in a game, you know, if you really got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just peeing again, just dump it out, just throw it away.
Yeah, someone hold a towel for you so
yeah,
the fans
make sure
don't see
you get
it
rid of that Gatorade cup.
Oh, right. No, well, bottle, Gatorade, and then just throw it away. Yeah, you don't want to do that, unless you're a boxer.
Right.
Right. absorb all the nutrients.
Juan Manuel Marquez and the 24/7 countdown to his Mayweather fight.
That was amazing.
Talked about he drank his own urine.
He wanted
you
it.
You know who else does that, don't you?
Jake Gutierrez.
That's exactly
that's
right.
Our guy.
We have to check in with him at some point
for
see
real.
How that.
Yes.
How that.
I need some Jake
out.
In my life. I need. I think about him when I'm barefoot at night, absorbing earth energies. You got to take some. You got to take some tidbits away from everybody.
Yeah.
You know. Like,
no,
don't go full. Like, I still
don't
debate his,
it, yeah.
his non-resident tax thing. Like, you're going to get audited, buddy.
Yeah.
That doesn't
let's,
end
let's,
well. Let's,
you know,
let's, yeah.
let's agree that the Titanic did sink.
Right.
Paul McCartney didn't die, you know, in the 60s. He's living and doing well.
I'm a big comic book nerd, and Grant Morrison is one of the greatest comic book writers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And he put out this comic, one of my favorite comic books of all time. It's called The Invisibles. And it was written in, you know, mid-90s to 97. And it is like the Matrix ripped it off, by the way, right? Because it talk about this world beneath the world and getting controlled by elites. And there are these invisible cells that are fighting to protect it. And there's aliens and there's drugs and there's transgender people. And, you know, it's got everything. You'd have thought it was written this year because it's amazing. It's forward thinking. I love it. And I don't even know where I was going with that story, but... By the way, some relevant.
I'm loving the art.
Right? Yeah, but I recommend you read it. I recommend just as a cultural reference. Yeah, no clue what my point was there. It was something. I got lost in that.
Let's see
that
Nate was
comic.
Listening.
Nate, were you listening?
What was Nate's point?
What was I talking about?
I'm trying to remember what like we were even talking about when we started
a cup.
This. Yes.
Vaping
Jake,
on the
oh, Jake.
Oh,
okay,
yeah, Jake
so
not paying his taxes.
It deals with conspiracy stuff. Theories, right? It deals with a lot of different conspiracy theories wrapped into one. So if you have to dabble in conspiracy theories. You know, believe them, don't believe them, whatever. But it's fun to think about. You know, it's fun to think about.
I've
like there's a grand organization.
Countless hours researching the JFK assassination. I was told in grade school that I had to stop writing book reports and doing my projects really? On. I recreated Dealey Plaza.
Really? Yeah, you know they got a museum in Dallas, right?
Oh, I've been there.
You've been to the 6th floor museum?
Absolutely.
Or the 5th floor, I forget what it is.
Absolutely.
And they have a whole section on conspiracy. The whole last half is the conspiracy theories. It's amazing.
When Jackie O's Secret Service agent that was assigned to her that was there, mm-hmm. he wrote a book and came to town to speak, I was right there in the front row. I mean, and I was fascinated by it.
It's amazing that they put his whole parade route in the Dallas Morning News. I mean, they put his whole...
Don't get me started. Whoa, really? Don't get me started.
Dude, it in the whole thing, man. I mean, Jack... I don't feel comfortable talking about this.
No, they're listening. Trust me, they're listening. And I know it's not accurate, but JFK is one of my favorite movies. I will watch it just to see the cameo from John Candy.
Good day to you, sir. I love the myriad of things that people can dissect. Like, you look at all these groups now, like all these cold cases getting solved by internet sleuths. I think is the internet's a tool. It's good and bad.
Well,
one of them is cold case people who solve that stuff. It's amazing.
Well, it got really bad because I don't even want to get into this, but there was a recent case where the internet sleuths wrongly accused some people.
Oh, and it happens.
It got ugly. But
it happens.
Right. But like, one of the highlights I've ever had on the show is when we had Ed Asner on the show, and I talked to him about his role in JFK when he when he pistol whipped Jack Lemmon.
Oh.
And it was fantastic.
Oh.
And I was just so thrilled to talk to a legend like Ed Asner. Okay, so now let's
move. Wyandotte County guy.
That's right.
The pistol whip is the greatest movie move ever. Like the pistol whip?
It's the greatest Steve St. John Sr. move ever. Seen that happen, and that was not pretty.
That's a core memory. Yeah. It's trauma. Yep. That's a traumatic. I don't want to ask.
Eighth grade downtown after I got mugged. I got to get in and tell that story on the podcast. Yeah.
Oh.
It was pretty good. I was terrified. So I'd had a gun pulled on me, and then it was, yeah.
There's a lot of guns in my childhood, man.
Right?
I'm speechless.
So am I. Okay, so one question I wanted to ask you about the other game, Cincinnati and Buffalo.
Yeah.
You're picking one quarterback to ride with, Joe Burrow or Josh Allen. Who's your guy?
I think here's the thing. I think short term, I think the next 5-6 years, I think Josh Allen does better just because he brings more versatility. And, you know, Joe Burrow's slippery. He can elude you, but I think more of a Tom Brady career arc, I think Burrow.
He'll last longer.
Yeah, and I'm saying his style, like Burrow is so smooth, so cool with it, and Josh Allen, he plays with passion, he plays with fire, and where Joe Burrow, he's cool, Mr. Joe Cool, like he's just steady, just leading the team, just quiet confidence, you know, knows how to get it done, so. But if I'm picking,
who's going to win that game?
I love how they're coming back. You know, it was a shame what happened with the DeMar Hamlin thing. You know, it's a part of the game, and that's I'm glad they canceled the game and said, you know, screw it. And the neutral side, I think that was the best thing you could have done. I love how they're getting back together. I mean, they essentially got a bye week for that game. I know it was very traumatic, and there's things that's bigger than football when you're talking about your life's on the line. But they got a bye week there, essentially, because you only played about 5 minutes of a game, so they got a bye week.
Yeah, and both coaches said yesterday during their pressers that they didn't really take away much from that game.
There's nothing to take. You're just sort of feeling like boxers, you know, opening bell. You touch gloves and you kind of circle around, then it's like, oh, there's no real whatever. So, let me explain to you how important a bye week is. How nice was it as a Chiefs fan this weekend to not watch the Chiefs? How less stressed were you?
Stress-free weekend.
Okay, right?
Yeah.
Marco, same? Nathan?
It was really nice, yes.
Imagine as a player, you've been grinding since August 1, and you get that same week off, right? That feeling, that's how important the bye week is.
Is it? And it is. I agree with you. But now, like, the Chiefs are in a situation now where, for many fans, anything less than a championship is a disappointment. And that's a lot of pressure. That's tough. They go And I do believe this, but I've heard people say, well, Jacksonville's playing with house money. Yeah, they have nothing to lose. Look, they still want to win, but there's not all this. Well, you're supposed to beat the Chiefs. You have to beat the Chiefs. They don't have that pressure.
Yeah.
The Chiefs, they are supposed to beat Jacksonville. They have to beat Jacksonville. Yeah. If they go out and they're one and done and lose to Jacksonville in the divisional round, that will be a disaster, and all hell will break loose on the show on Monday. Is it hard to have that kind of pressure going in to a playoff game, or have these guys had dealt with that enough where it's not a factor?
I'd be lying if you're, as a player, you don't think about that. Like it's in the way back recesses of your mind, like the 1% of your mind, but you're definitely conscious of that. Like I remember Tale of Two Cities. I was in St. Louis in 08. We sucked. We won five games in 2 years. There was no pressure on game day. It was fantastic. It was like, we're going to lose. They expect to lose. If we win it, you know, they might hang a banner. You know, whereas then I go to New Orleans the next year, and it's like, we're undefeated. You know, so much talking about Super Bowl runs. So yeah, you feel that pressure a little bit. But then also you have that confidence at the same time. And so it's like your biggest issue is like too much confidence. Don't overlook people. But, you know, having played Jacksonville earlier, seen what they did versus the Chargers, now it's like they can't surprise anybody anymore because you're like, okay, look what they did to Chargers. It's like no one will be able to kick an onside kick in a Super Bowl ever again. It's already been done. Now you expect it. Right, so once it's been shown, now you expect.
And like Jacksonville can't do it to start the game or anything, because they already did it to the Chiefs.
Same concept,
round one.
Same,
right?
Same concept, dude. So it's like they've sort of showed their hand, and that's another advantage of having the bye. You get to sit back, be a normal human being, and see everybody's what they got, you know, and then let them beat each other up, and then come face you, which is good or could be good or bad, you know. But Andy Reid after a bye week,
think
you know, you like that.
Think it's a real beneficial when you get to see kind of two sides of the team too?
You do, 100%. Where the weaknesses are and what they're strong at. And just, I always tell kids I coach, you know, like, how do you eat a dinosaur, right? One bite at a time. And that's the same thing with football, man. One play at a time. That's all you can do. That's all you can do. And I always tell people, look at this. Like people are like, oh, it's done and dusted. I was like, no, it's not, man. You're guaranteed, you know, three possessions a quarter. So I always do the math. I go, they're only up 27. That's not. That's four possessions. That's a quarter and a third of another quarter. So you're never mathematically eliminated in a half unless you go down by more than six possessions, like 6 8-pointers or 6 7-pointers. You know, it's like then it's done. You know, then it's done.
Look, I was talking to Leo Chanel a couple of days ago in the locker room, and he even said watching those AFC games. They all came right down to the wire.
Good,
a couple of them
man.
Weren't supposed to. That's just a reminder, like, you can't take nothing for granted. And so maybe that was good for them to see that.
Agreed.
Miami with a backup quarterback almost winning. Baltimore with a backup quarterback almost winning. Jacksonville being down 27-0. They came all the way back. That was wild as hell.
That's the power of divisional games, too, though. You know, and that's another why it's a tough read for those games. I know that one's non-divisional, but, like, the divisional opponents, man, they play tough. You know, they played, and it's tough to gather any sort of information off that those games when their divisional opponents meet for the third time. You know, it's like they know each other so well. Like, that's, yeah. I also think, too, honestly, just because you're a divisional winner, I don't think you should host a game. I think you should make the playoffs, but then they should do the seeding based off of record.
So Tampa shouldn't have hosted a game.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
We've got Nick Leckie in studio back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for joining us. Nick, what was your official prediction? The score of the Chiefs and Jags game, please.
What's the weather? What's the final weather? Not final. What's the weather going to be like on game day?
Gary Lezak said it's supposedly start to snow. I don't believe the dramatics he tried to sell us on. He said kickoff at 3:30. He claims it's going to start snowing at 3:29, and I called him a liar. So
can
we'll
I still
see.
Sign up for like the win jewelry when
I
the first inch of snow?
I
is
feel like
happen,
yes,
right?
You can sign up for a lot of things with Gary. I mean,
I love that.
All right.
I miss the LRC, dude. That's such a fantastic thing that he created. So I always do. Okay, so if it's going to be sleeting rain, I take the under. Like I'm all about unders.
What if it's nice weather fluffy games. Snow?
And, but it's fluffy snow. Gosh, it could be like an offensive like battle, because I love snow because it dulls a defensive lineman. Like it restricts your move. Any sort of weather restricts a D lineman's movement. Like they can't do all these moves and it's kind of nice. Like you kind of, and the only thing it sucks for is like people handle the ball, like centers, quarterbacks, everyone. So I take the unders in snow and whatever. It's like when the Chiefs beat Indy at home a couple years ago. And
divisional round game?
Yeah, it was the under. I took the under, mm-hmm. and the under hit. But it's tough when you do the under, right? Because you got to watch the whole game. That's when you bet the over, it's like, okay, it hit, done, we're done. Let's go, you know? And it's like the under, you're like, God, I got to watch this to the end. This is nerve-wracking. So it's like, if you don't want to hedge your emotions, do the under. I'd say the under. So I'd say it'd be like a 24 to like 13 game.
24-13. That would be 13. A cover, but that would be the under. Nate Buchady, do you agree or disagree with Nick Leckie?
I got 31-24. What is that? Does that go under still?
That's over. It's over. It's like over. 53.
It's over, but no cover. That's exactly the opposite of Nick Leckie.
So
you think he's a fool?
I like that. That's pretty Damn much. What, that's pretty much what I'm feeling, Nate.
Nate, any final comments live from Denver?
Yeah, out here in Denver, I'm happy to report that they do not have playoff fever here. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
You hate. You love to see it.
We only have seconds left. Your former coach is Sean Payton. Is he going to be the next coach in Denver?
He could do it. He could do it. They'd be foolish not to. If Sean wants to do it, he could do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can get players to Denver. Good conference. You got the squad built. He could be a quarterback fire. Look what he did with Jameis Winston. He could revive Russell Wilson.
That's Nick Leckie. That's the Border Patrol. Everyone have a great day right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.